This is Marina Rosh Shlita. We're approaching Pesach. We have already spoken in the past about Matzah and about Seder night and about Haggadah. So, a different topic for Pesach. We're going to read on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Shir HaShirim. There is, in fact, a custom to read Shir HaShirim on every Erev Shabbos. And it's regarded as a big segula to save one from Gehinnom. And I was reminded by Naftali Chaim Hepner just now about the inyan of the number of hours in a week. If you work out the number of hours in a week and you deduct the 24 hours for Shabbos and 4.5 hours for each day when the Sotan does not accuse us to get us into Gehinnom, so says the Maaser Rekeach from the Zohar in Noach, then you get 117 hours, which is the number of Pesukim in Shir HaShirim. Keneged Kuf Yud Zayin Shos Shebehem Nidonim BeGehinnom Misha Oma Osa BeKavona Yinotzel Megehinnom. A person who says with Kavona Shir HaShirim will be saved from Gehinnom. And this is also brought in the Likutei Ma'arich from the Shloh B'Shem Rab Avraham Halevi, the Talmud of the Ramak, that if you don't have enough time on Erev Shabbos to say the whole of Shir HaShirim, then you should at least say 4 verses which have the Rashi Tevos of Yud Ayin Kuf Veis Yaakov. They are, if you want it for the record, Pesukim in chapter 1 verse 2, chapter 4 verse 9, chapter 2 verse 9, and chapter 5 verse 8. Shakenu Shkos Piyu Uri Tzofon Kol Dodi Hine Zebo and Bosi Lagani. Nice words, beautiful words, which are to save you from Gehinnom. And why is it that we read it on Pesach? Well, the number of reasons given, the Radvaz and the Magen Avraham say it alludes to the Exodus, the coming out from Egypt. Number two, everything that we experience and perceive Ba'olam Hazeh as an allegory is brought in Shir HaShirim to teach us the love of Hashem. And the Sfasema says even the great country, the great so-called civilized country of Egypt, was shown to be subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Zohar says that it hints to all Jewish history. It hints in every single possibility to whatever has happened to us in the past and what will happen to us in the future. And when Shlomo HaMelech put down into writing, well, the Gemara says Chizkiah put it into writing, but Shlomo HaMelech authored it, what he foresaw with Ruach HaKodesh when he built the first Beis HaMikdosh, that there will be exiles in the future, and it was to give hope to Klal Yisrael in the future that even when they are in exile, Hashem has not forsaken Klal Yisrael, because Hashem has a love for Klal Yisrael. And the whole of Shir HaShirim is written B'derech Moshel. In fact, the Ramban writes in his Hakdoma, in his Perish Shir HaShirim, and the Gemara itself says that anybody who simply reads Shir HaShirim literally in the Derech, that although it's written as a moshel, as a parable, if you read it literally, then you're just a fool. When you read it literally, it reads like a love story. The guy look at it as though it's just some romantic story. To be zoche, to be included amongst the books of Tanakh, there has to be something more special about Shir HaShirim than just to call it a love story. And I'm going to start with the Mishnah in Masechta Yodayim. And Masechta Yodayim in Perek Gimel Mishnah Hay, it talks about Sifrei Kodesh, which are Matamin Es HaYodayim. Chazal made a rule that the Sifrei Kodesh make your hands Tomei, namely you have to wash your hands before you start eating Terum or something like that, because they discovered that the Kohanim wanted to hide their Terumah to keep it safe. Terumah is holy food, so what would they do? They hid it in the Oren HaKodesh, next to the Sifrei Torah. And what would happen? The mice would come along, and the mice would eat up the Terumah, and they would also start nibbling at the Sifrei Torah. So in order to encourage Kohanim to keep the Terumah separate from Sifrei Kodesh, they made this rule about Terumah. And there's an argument there in the Mishnah about Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim v'Koheles Matamines HaYodayim. There's one opinion which brings there saying that Shir HaShirim is not Matamines HaYodayim because it's not really regarded as holy. It's a bit of a paradox. That it's only when it's holy when it makes Tumah. If it's not holy, then it doesn't make Tumah. So when there is a suggestion that Shiashirim might not be Matame Seidaim, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chas V'Shalom, heaven forbid, Lo Nechlak Odom Yisrael Ad Shiashirim Shalei Tame Es Hayodayim. The world was never even worthy of having such a wonderful work, such as Shem given to it. Shalak Suvim Kodesh, Kolak Suvim, all the writings of Tanakh are called holy. The Shiashirim Kodesh Kodoshim. But Shiashirim is the holy of holies. Now why is that? And there is in fact a custom to say Eses Shiros on Shavisha El Pesach. My grandfather had the custom, my father used to read it, that there are Eses Shiros, Mizmor Shiria, Mashavos, Oz Yoshir, so the Shiras Be'er, Hazinu, Yehoshua when the sun stood still, there's the Shiras David when he was saved from Shoal, the Shiras Devaro, Shiras Chano, and Shiashirim is called Kodesh Kodoshim, the most special one of the lot. Alright, you could say that each one of the other Shir were for a specific event, like Oz Yoshir when we crossed the Red Sea, or the Shiras David, he got saved from Shoal. So to celebrate a specific event, there was a Shir sung. And the best thing one can do in praise of Hashem is to sing a Shir. It is written that Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, if he would have sung a Shir, Mashiach would have come then, but he failed. Anyway, Shiashirim then is called something which encapsulates everything. So it's Kodesh Kodoshim. But we're going to really go into more into this question is why is it that it's called Kodesh Kodoshim? Especially when you read it, you think, you know, alright, so it's Bederech Moshel. If you buy the art scroll, the literal translation is given as the allegorical translation. And down at the bottom, in the small print, it gives the real literal translation, because it's so important to understand that Shiashirim is written by Derech Moshel. And they did this in Art Scroll with the advice of the Gedolei Yisrael. There's a very early Kabbalistic work called Sefer HaBohir, attributed to Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakone. And he writes there, in Chelek Aleph, that Tamar was a great tzedekah, she was zocher to two sons, Peretz and Zerach. Peretz, what is the name Peretz? Peretz is something which means something to break out, like peritzus, but he was compared to the moon, because the moon has light, but not always, it breaks out a bit. And Zerach, shining, is attributed to the sun, because the sun is always shining. And the question which is asked there in the Sefer HaBohir is, why wasn't the firstborn called Zerach, the son, because the son is more important, and why wasn't the second son called Peretz, the other way around? So there he writes that a hand came out of one baby, and they tied the ribbon round it to identify that this would be the firstborn, but then the hand retracted again, and the other baby emerged as the Bechor. So Peretz was made the Bechor. So there it says, and I heard that biologically this is possible, we won't go into that now. So the question is, why is it that this happened? Why was Peretz made the Bechor when Zerach should have really been the Bechor? Because Peretz was the ancestor of Shlomo HaMelech, who wrote Shir HaShirim. And it's because of the Shir HaShirim, Hichziro, that the other baby was pulled back. Because such an important thing is Shir HaShirim. But we're still in the question, why is Shiashirim called Kodesh Kodoshim? There is a midrash about Rabbi Azari and Rabbi Chizkiah, who learned, they were going on Olel HaRegel, and they were learning about the tumor of the Nochosh. And they came up with this realization that the Nochosh, the snake which tempted Chava to eat from the forbidden fruit, it carried on this tumor from one generation to the next, until Shlomo HaMelech came out with Shiashirim. So great is Shiashirim. Now what do I mean by Shlomo HaMelech revealing it? It says there that he discovered it. He had Ruach HaKodesh, because the Zohar says that the angels were singing Shiashirim already at Har Sinai in praise of Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Shiashirim is a love story between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael and HaKodesh Baruch Hu. It's a two-way thing. And this was thought so beautiful that the angels are swinging it. Some say even Akriyas Yamsuf. The Zohar in Vo'eiro, the Medrash Ne'elam it's called, talks about Rabbi Lezer ben Harkonos, who was dying on his deathbed on an Erev Shabbos. He was a bit unpopular because of an argument in Bava Metzia about the kashrus of an oven, and he claimed that he was right, and he said the river would flow backwards and the ceiling would cave in and these things started to happen, but they said lo bashamayin he, and he was not in the majority and he was excommunicated. But his gadlus in Torah was so amazing that when he was dying, Rabbi Akiva visited him and they started to discuss the Maaseh Merkava. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Hakanus explained to Rabbi Akiva 216 explanations of Shir HaShirim. And as they were talking, there was fire which was enveloping them. So great was this learning that was taking place. And it was Rabbi Akiva who called this Megillah Kodesh Kadoshim. But Rabbi Eliezer made Rabbi Akiva swear that he would not use the Pesukim of Shir HaShirim as healing powers, because there are certain Pesukim which have healing powers. And in fact, you're not allowed to say a posuk just for healing. There was the custom to spit at the same time. And the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei Kuf Ayin Zayin talks about this prohibition. Osur Milchosh Ala Makom. Even if one doesn't spit. But there's a Sefer Rabbi Chaim Yeshaya HaKoim on Shir HaShirim. He lists those Pesukim in Shir HaShirim which have segulos, which have healing powers. But if you regularly read the whole of Shir HaShirim, then that's included and you're not going against this prohibition. So that is the greatness of Shir HaShirim. But what is this greatness? We say that it's a love story. And that one who reads it like a zemer, like a song, is called evil to the world. But it's praises of one's love, and it's talking about the human body. Just to give a few examples. Your cheeks are comely, your eyes are doves, your hair is like a flesh of goats, your flock of goats, your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewe sheep, your lips are like a thread of scarlet. Just as examples, your cheeks are like a piece of pomegranate, your neck is like the Tower of David, how beautiful are your soles in sandals. I can give you the Pesukim reference numbers if you want, but this is just to give an idea. Arise, my love, my fair one, on my bed at night I sought the one I love. So the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says that this is talking about the exiles. The bed at night is talking about we're in Golus and that we're longing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Al-Sheikh writes in a very interesting way about a king who loves his queen so dearly, but she's unfaithful to him. And she's flirting with one of the footmen. So he sends her away for a small period of time, just so that she can have some hispodidus and reflect on what she's done, and then she comes back to him. And he longs for her to come back, and she longs to come back to him. But after she comes back, she does even something worse with infidelity, and she's unfaithful. So he sends her away, but he doesn't divorce her. He sends her away for a much longer period of time. And this is what Shir HaShirim is really all about. The longing of Hashem for Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael for Hashem, especially when they're in Golus. Shlomo saw, as I said, Ruach HaKodesh, that there would be exiles. But he wanted to show Klal Yisrael that Hashem would love us even in those times of exiles. So we're talking about Israel, and I really have to ask ourselves this question. Well, what is love? I mean, this is a word bandied about so much and cheapened so much, especially in the media. And we hear so much about couples falling in love, and Rabbi Twersky asks a very interesting question in his Perush on the Chumash in Chaye Sora. He says, what is this whole business about love? He says, couples, you hear all over the place, are falling in love, and yet we've got such a high divorce rate. He says, you know, 40% in his writing there, some say 1 in 2. What is going on here? Then when they get married, they say they're in deep, deep love, but really, then they end up in divorce. Surely there wasn't such a thing as love at all. He says the dynamics of a couple falling in love is something like this. The young man sees in the young woman a person he feels can satisfy his emotional needs, and she sees him as someone who can satisfy her emotional needs. So the question is that an ideal basis for a lasting relationship? So although they profess that they have love for each other, the reality is that they each love themselves, right? Because the guy goes on a shidduch, he's got a list of things he wants to see in his bride, so he's got boxes which he ticks. Yeah, well, she's nice, and she's this, and she's that, so he ticks the boxes, and maybe she's doing the same, she's ticking the boxes. So when they both tick all the boxes, they think, oh great, we made a shidduch, and have a vort, break the plate, and off we go under the chuppah. We're in love. But says Rav Twersky, that that's not really which is the foundation for a harmonious relationship. Because if they use this method and they say that they're in love, there's a risk of this relationship falling apart. A much more mature love would be if they've got common goals, common background, and they have this respect and appreciation of each other. That is to say, that he will put her needs before his own, and she will put his needs before her own. Alright, we can ask, you know, do you love Marmite? Do you either love it or you hate it? How do you command love? How do you command love of Hashem? But when you love your Marmite, it's really you love yourself, because your appetite is for that Marmite and you want to satisfy your appetite. It's not really that you love the Marmite. You won't cross over to Australia to save Marmite. So what is this thing? In trying to understand what love is, Rav Twersky puts it in the connection, and we can then bring this forward into the Shir HaShirim concept of what is love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To put the other's needs first. I'm not suggesting that you should serve breakfast in bed every single morning to your wife, but it helps. The word Ahavo comes from the word Hav, which means give. Well, she gives, I take. Anyway, I always make sure I got the last word, and you know what that is? Yes, dear. It's not a marriage guidance talk, but when we lay our tefillin in the morning, what do we say when we put the tefillin round our middle finger? The erustich li. What's the erustich? Word related to the word erusin. The love that we have for Hashem is compared to the love of the chosam and kala. Erustichli la olam, erustichli b'tzedek v'mishpat v'chesed rachamim, erustichli b'emunah. What's this for erustich the whole time? And this comes up a lot in our davening. L'chododi nikras kalop v'nei shab. The Shabbos is compared to the bride, and Hashem and Am Yisrael is the bride. So stosis v'sogel akora, we say the Sheva Brachos. And it's talking there about Sion, about bringing back Sion. Habocha ba'amo Yisrael ba'ahavo. And the Maharal says that Hashem has love for Klal Yisrael in such a way that it's almost illogical. Just like last month we spoke that the hatred of Amalek for Klal Yisrael is illogical, so also Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael, even though we do Averus, He still loves us, so His love for us is unconditional. Just like our love for Him should be unconditional. And that is really a difference between the Jewish approach and maybe the non-Jewish approach. Because when Yosef HaTzadik comes to Paro, he says to Paro, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. And Yosef makes sure that he includes mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elohim Ya'anes Shalom Paro. Hashem will sort out your dream for you. And he brings Elohim into Paro's life. And at the end, Paro says, yeah, maybe who can I find somebody who's got this Ruach Elohim? Paro is accepting Hashem. And yet later on, when Moshe asks Paro to let us out from Mitzrayim, he says, who is this God you're talking about? He's not interested. Why? Because when he's talking about the 7 years of plenty, oh, suits me fine. Yeah, it's good for economics. Yeah, sure, I accept Hashem. But when he's got to let all these free slaves go, where he's getting them out for nothing, no, I don't know who Hashem is. Says the Sefer Daikei Musa that our love for Hashem is to be shown even when we are in trouble, even when we have tzoros, we still have that love for Hashem. That is the difference. So this brings us forward then into the idea that love is a very, very powerful force. Let me quote to you a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva in the 10th Perek, he said, what is this love for Hashem? And he refers in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, where there he says, how does one achieve love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can you command V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha? I can't love you to love Marmite. How can I tell you to love Hashem? He says, if you would study nature, if you would look at things going on around you, if you would see how Hashem has created the world, then you will turn to love Hashem. If you just look at the enormity of magnitude of Hashem's creation and how fascinating it is, and you've got these idiots who talk about forbidding creationism in schools, where Michael Gove, the Secretary of State for Education, says, we can't have people teaching something against scientific fact, his exact words. And any honest scientist will admit to you that all this evolution stuff is only theory and is not fact. But he translated it into fact. And they say, well, big bangs happen and everything falls into place, and after millions of years anything can happen. Try getting a monkey to type a letter on a computer board. Anyway, we dealt with this on other occasions. But when you study, you know, when you study nature, you come to appreciate and love Hashem because it's so overwhelming. Avraham Avinu, he looked around, he saw nature, he saw Hashem everywhere. He didn't get his emuna from seeing the Nisim because they only happened later. And this, says the Rambam, is the way to achieve Avas Hashem. There are other ways to achieve Avas Hashem. The Sefer Chovos HaLevavos at the end has Shah Avo. He says, I left this section till the very end because Avo is really the greatest virtue of all. And how does one achieve Avas Hashem? He talks about the overwhelming idea of Buriyah, but he also says when we make ourselves low and realize the greatness of Hashem, and we appreciate that Hashem has done things for us and let us off for our averus, or has shown mercy and flexibility, that's also a way of getting Avas Hashem. And when we're appreciating Hashem, what greater time of the year is there when we sit at Seder night on Pesach and talk about coming out of Egypt and the miracles that he did for us? So let's look at the Rambam's attitude towards Avas Hashem. The case had here Ava Haruyahi, how does one love Hashem but Ava Gedolo Yosera Azo, in a very obsessive kind of way, Azo Ma'od, until one's nefesh is kashur b'Avas Hashem, and he compares it to somebody who is like lovesick for a woman. When a person is obsessed and infatuated with a particular woman, he's constantly thinking of, engaged, of talking about it, when he's sitting down or he's standing up, whether he's eating or drinking. Even more than that is the love for Hashem. With all your heart, with all your soul. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech was talking about in the way of a parable. Ki cholas ahava oni. A phrase from Shir HaShirim. I am lovesick. V'chol Shir HaShirim Moshel Hu Le'inyon Zeh. And the whole of Shir HaShirim is a parable to this very subject. And it's interesting when we talk about the reciprocal attitude of love between us and Hashem. Because when we come to Pesach, it's interesting that we call it Pesach. Reb Levi Yitzchok of Berdichev says, we call it Pesach, why? Because we're thanking Hashem for what he did for us by being Pesach over the doorposts. He was jumping over, missing us out when he did the Makas Becharos, and he brought us out of Egypt with his Nisim. So we call it Pesach. But what does Hashem call this festival? Chag HaMatzos. Why? Because he wants to give credit to us. Because we're running and busy, because when you bake matzahs, if you go into a matzah factory, a hand-baked matzah factory, it's really tense and everybody's anxious to make sure they reach the 18-minute maximum, and to make sure that you're doing your matzahs properly, inevitably you're going to be rushing. Rushing here, rushing there, and you'll be sweating from it. Sorry, not sweating. Horses sweat. Men perspire, ladies glow. You'll be perspiring from it. And when you perspire to do a mitzvah, says the Sefer Yosef Yosef, that is a demonstration of showing your Avas Hashem. And this reciprocal idea we find in other places as well. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu in the Parsha of Matos to wage war against Midian because of what they did to us, and he says, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, you will go to war against Midian. When Moshe Rabbeinu commands the army to go and fight, he says it's for the sake of Hashem we're going to war against Midian. We're doing it for Hashem, Hashem is doing it for us. And when we put on our tefillin have inside them the words Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we talk about the aftus and greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem also puts on tefillin. Kesher tefillin hero le'onov, we sing in Anim Zemiros. And what is written in Hashem's tefillin? Ato echod v'shem echochod. Umi ka'amcho Yisrael go'echod boretz. Who is like your people Israel? Hashem shows his love for us, just like we show our love for him. So love is connected to the idea of Deveikus, of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an interesting idea in Rav Hirsch's commentary on Parshas Vo'eiro, where he talks about the Dalad Lashonos of Geula. V'hotzeitzi, v'yitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lokachti. V'hotzeitzi it says Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. Sivlos is a lashon of inui, of affliction. Ve'etzalti eschem me'avodoso, and I will save you from your avdus, from being slaves. So we're talking about the affliction, we're talking about the slavery. And then it says ve'goalti eschem, and I will redeem you. What is this lashon of redeeming? Redeeming is somebody who is a stranger, is redeemed and brought out of exile into freedom. And then I can take you to me as a people. And then there's another expression, vehevesi, to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. Once I've got you taken to me as a people, then I can take you to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Hirsch says, why is it in this order? Because when Hashem wants to help us, he wants to take away the harshest thing first. So he takes away the inui, the physical affliction. Now it says, yes, hemitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. Sivlos is a lashon inui. And then, the next worst thing is the avdus, the slavery. So then Hashem takes that away. And then the goalt yeschem, the geirus, I will stop you from being strangers. And then what is Hashem doing? I'm taking you close to me. And then says Rav Hirsch, that is the devekus. That is the closeness, that is the intimacy which Hashem wants to have with us. So then you've got, once you've got that devekus, you've got the love. And when you've got that love, then everything falls into place. In fact, when there is true love, everything does fall into place. If a couple are practicing these principles, then it's unlikely that the marriage fails. But again, I'm not going into what we're looking at is Haboche Bami Yisrael Be'ava. Look at the bracha, Ava Rava, Av Tonu Hashem Lakeinu, Chem Lo Gedola. If you look at all the expressions, and then that the same bidi beinu lahovin or lahaskil, within that love, give us lahovin or lahaskil, the shmuel lilmo de lame de shmuel velasos, etc. The Gemara in Yuma Pevov talks about the idea of teshuvah. Gedola teshuvah shezadonos nasos lo kishagogos. If you do teshuvah from your averus, sorry Hashem, I did sin, I was very bad, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. So what do Chazal say? That if you did averus which was adonos, which you did on purpose, then once you've done teshuvah, it will be regarded as though your averus become shagogos, as though you didn't intend to do them. But Chazal tell us that's when you do teshuvah miyira. When you do out of reverence and fear of Hashem, yeah, that's very nice. You do the shuva, then your severity of your averus become reduced from what was done on purpose to what was done unintentionally. But what do Chazal tell us when you do teshuva me'ahava? When you do teshuva out of love, when you do teshuva out of love, your averus becomes zechuyos. It's as if each and every one of those sins that you committed become mitzvahs, and you're rewarded for those mitzvahs. I mean, what better deal can you get? Can you imagine standing in a British court of law saying to the judge, look, I'm sorry, I've repented for my sins, and I do out of love for Her Majesty the Queen. Don't think for one moment that you'll get away with it lightly. There will be no mitigating circumstances coming out of such talk. But when you are having this attitude towards Hashem of being involved in this love, an excitement to do mitzvahs. We can all think of grandparents, great-grandparents of ours. We don't even have to have a look back to Moshe Rabbeinu. When we see how the enthusiasm was displayed by our previous generations, even when they had times of tzoras, even when they were facing huge anti-Semitism and atrocities, Klal Yisrael were demonstrating a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were still dancing with Sefer Torah and Simchas Torah, even when the Nazis were approaching, because of love for Hashem. And it's something which is brought to us, where we have to just try and emulate these previous generations as to what is Ahavas Hashem. And so the Rambam says in Yesod HaTorah, in Perek Beis, once you've looked at these methods of creation, once you've done this, you will be loving and praising Hashem. You will then get this real cheshek, this real appetite, leida Hashem, to know Hashem. Hagodol kamosh amar David, somo nafshi lelokim. I'm thirsty for Hashem. It's not, oh well, you know, okay, I better go and do this, I've got to go and sort that out, I suppose it's part of the routine. That's not the way we mechanech our children. If we mechanech our children by showing them excitement and love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we're doing these mitzvahs, that is a very safe bet that you're going to succeed. And when we look at all these strange phenomena of expressions about your cheeks are comely, your eyes are doves. Well, there's one elderly gentleman I know who says to his wife, your teeth are like stars, they come out at night time. but that is not an expression in Shia Shirim. What we do find is that when you look at these expressions, strange that they seem to the onlooker, you know, that this is one of the 24 Sforim of Tanakh, we find that there is something here greater than anything else when it comes to talking about Shir HaShirim. When Yaakov Avinu met Yosef HaTzadik for the first time in some 22 odd years after thinking that he was dead, can you imagine the feeling that Yaakov Avinu had in greeting his son, to embrace him and to kiss him and so on? And Chazal tell us that when he came to greet his son Yosef, before he actually kissed him and hugged him, as he saw him, he said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. Because he wanted to show that however great his love for his son, and we know his love for his son was very great, that love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu was even far, far greater. And he had the chance to demonstrate this when he saw Yosef for the first time. And therefore, when we can show this perspiration when we're doing the mitzvahs, not just when we're baking matzah, when we're cleaning for Pesach, we showed this love for Hashem by bringing the lamb in defiance of the Egyptians, but it can happen when you are going to shul. It says, well, ideally one should run when one goes to shul. You should get jogging partners. Especially if you're late. Yeah. No, I have seen it written that amongst goyim one doesn't run, but there is an inyan of running to shul. And that when you leave the shul, you walk away slowly, you don't run. And then it can be done with any mitzvahs, but that you're doing it with a cheshek, when you're helping old people, you're going to read the Megillah, you're going to help someone across the road, you're doing it with an enthusiasm, that you're not showing the person, and it's the same with giving tzedakah. If you give tzedakah grudgingly, and the poor person feels as though, well, you don't really want to give, but you just want to get him out of the way, that person feels it, then you're not showing the ahava, you're not showing the love. But really, yiro and ahava are very synonymous. If you write the word on a piece of paper, yiro, and underneath it the word ahava, and then you put a vertical line down the middle, then on the right hand side you'll get the word yiro, and on the other side you'll get the word ahava. Does it work? So the two are very much synonymous, but Chavos HaLevavos says that really the yiro is a prelude, a necessity before you reach the high degree of ahava. You cannot really divorce all the other virtues of being humble, of having fear of God, and say, well, I'll jump straight into the Avo. He says the Avo doesn't come, the genuine Avo doesn't really come until you've done those things. There is a posuk in Shir HaShirim, in Perek Aleph, posuk Dalad, Haviani HaMelech Chadorov. The king has brought me into his chambers. And there's an interesting parish of Rav Yaakov Lisa, the Tzorah Hamar. He says, what does it mean the king has brought me into his chambers? He says it's not just in past tense. It's also in the future tense, and it's a prayer. Just as we experienced Hashem's love in our gratitude for him in the coming out of Egypt, so we should again in the future be grateful to Hashem and close in our love to Hashem, that what we had celebrated in the past and what we're sitting down for on Seder night is because of our love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in appreciation, Shaposach al kol Pesach v'Pesach, who jumped over every door, or Botei Mitzrayim, then in the future we will be celebrating even greater miracles at the coming of Mashiach, and that is a reflection on the prayer of what we will have in the future. That we will be thanking you with a new song on our Geula, that we may continue to love Hashem. Thank you.